Kia ora.
Yo, what's up, Patty? It's been a while.
It has been too long. Way too long.
How's Roundhead these days?
It's cranking, and that is why it's been too long.
Obviously, nobody needs the mini Moog at the minute, because you've just walked down, however you got here, let's not dwell.
I definitely didn't want to walk here today. I was afraid enough between the car and
what here. Year is the synthesizer, and what the hell is it? I know what it is, but
how
tell
heavy
everyone else.
Is it?
It's heavy. It's heavy. It looks portable. It's not. It's very heavy. I'd say it's like 10 kgs, maybe?
This is like
maybe
flagship Moog we're looking at right here.
Yeah, this is proper wood. This is not like your plastic little like lookalike wood panel. That's proper teak, probably.
It's a mini Moog or Moog. We did discuss off air, and Bob didn't actually care how you said his name, but I think it's technically Moog.
It's Moog, yeah. But you could be forgiven for thinking it was Moog.
You've got the mini Moog with you here, monophonic subtractive synthesizer, meaning you start with a sound and then you can sculpt away at it.
Yes, you can. It's
by subtracting and combing out things and bits and bobs. This instrument is beyond legendary, really.
Yep.
Hey,
it is. It's on when we're talking about picking a song. It's kind of like, well, almost every record of all time has a Moog on it.
Or some emulation of trying to do that sound. I mean, it's legendary for its bass lines, legendary for sort of that P-Funk gangster rap sort of lead lines.
Yeah, I was trying to do a little bit of that before, but
the sort of chronic 2001.
Yeah, try to get a little more leady on it, see if this thing...
They love an analog delay as well, but we don't have one of those on them.
Yeah, I should have put a little thing up to marry it up with it, so it's a dry boy right now. But anyway, it's from the 1970s.
I've never seen one, real one in person.
Yeah, well, the thing is, they only made 12,000 in the original kind of issue out, and I think between like 72 and 78, maybe. Here, you coming over for a little hoon. Come on.
I just love the font, like, so mint. Yeah. Everything's quite massive on it. Like, there's font on here that's like, controllers is about the size of my index finger. It just says, controllers. Oscillator mix. Oscillator bank. Big old switches. It looks so Russian, but it's American.
So, historically, this is considered the very first synthesizer for musicians.
For the people's synthesizer. Yeah, because I think it was kind of modular was the thing, and you had to spend about 40 grand, and they were trying to basically get... they were trying to give studios that had to make sounds a easier option than having to get like an orchestra in to do things. So this thing's capable of, if you multi-track, you can get all sorts of pretty gang sounds.
I think they were like made to order at the time as well. So if you had a synth in the 70s, you were kind of like the richest dude in town because everything was made to order. They didn't have and they took up like half a wall. But yeah, this came, so it's called the Model D because there's A, B, and C revision, but the Model D was the one that they kind of mass produced, I guess.
Imagine if you had one of the other ones.
I know, they look amazing. They're like kind of, they're like this, but a little more square, and you can see each version is kind of working more and more towards this. Each one has a little more knobs, a little more.
It's meant, obviously we're looking at a thing here, it's got a piano keyboard. I read somewhere once that they used a piano because they were literally just trying to get people to use it, and that was the most familiar thing that they could use. But you could just use a ribbon controller or something for this. And it's generally a flat synthesizer, but it can be propped up. And I noticed it's just kind of propped up with a bit of decking at the back there.
Yeah, it's meant to have a proper prop, but nothing's perfect when it's that age.
Has Neil Finn told you how it came into Roundhead's possession? Is there a story behind this?
I found it. I found it. Yeah, huh. It's relatively new for us.
Here we go.
Yeah, get a bit of noise out of that.
Did you find it locally?
Yeah, there was a guy who used to run an ad agency somewhere up in Ponsonby, and it somehow someone shared it to me on Facebook or something, and it was like, oh, this dude's selling a bunch of old gear, and this is one of them. And I just called him and went up there and was like,
did he know what he had?
He did. It wasn't outrageous what we paid for it. I think we paid just north of $6,000. but you know, they are what they are. And I mean, they only made 12,000 ever, and then they've made the model, the modern reissues, the Voyagers, and I'm pretty sure they made it one for one. So however many original units they made, they only made the same amount of reissues. So it's like, even to get the brand new boys is pretty tough.
So with the noise, looks like the noise might not be working.
No.
Yo, look, everyone's got its own individual little switch. Am I too low?
It kind of looks like a 1950s wooden school desk.
Yeah, it is. Well, and what year is this? Like 70s?
76. I think I'd try to date it. This one actually came from Lewis Eady, so it must have been bought from...
Here we go. We put a bit of portamento on here. Here we go.
Yep.
Sorry if you're having a session in the car, it's not the cops, it's just a model. synthesizer.
Shall we drop into some Parliament?
Yeah, show us how it's really done, Parliament.
Thank you.
That's pretty much the P-Funk. I was just jamming along the whole time there. It sounded dope in the room. I don't know about all you listeners at home, but thank you.
Mini Moog in the room pretty much held its price as well. $1,500 US back in 1974.
Adjust inflation.
So I guess you're getting it for a bit of a steal now if you buy one now.
Yeah.
Interestingly, we have spoken about this. Behringer have pretty much ripped this because they make reissues of the synthesizer, don't they?
Yeah. They're pretty much doing every synthesizer, but they've classically done this one. And I think they've done a polyphonic one as well because one's only for you at home. It's only mono.
Yeah.
The Behringer one is poly, which is crazy.
But Moog has done reissues of this as well, right?
Mm.
Yeah.
I think there's
MIDI and all sorts of stuff.
So yeah, there's a Faithful reissue, which is basically like the same stuff, and then there's the Voyager, which is this, but then it has a digital computer in it, which does crazy stuff as well. I'm not quite sure what that guy does.
Caller, you've called.
No, it's Hunter.
I'm just saying, caller, you've called.
Oh, it's Hunter from Morning Glory. How are you guys?
Hi, Hunter. We're just in the middle of Tools of the Trade. What's going on?
Ah, sorry to bother you.
You're really not, mate.
I am calling because I think I left my keys in the studio. And
oh,
I was
you know what? They're right behind me here. Yeah. We're just admiring those.
Any questions about the Moog?
Well, I love Mort Garson.
Yeah.
Tell you that much.
There you go. No, that's, nice. That's a safe bet. So fair to say I can get into flying out at any time now because I've got the keys. Is that what you're getting at?
Deals.
Hey, we'll keep them safe for you, mate.
Hunter's right. Keys.
Well, thanks for that. Good to know where they are.
Okay, bro, we're going to get back to this segment.
Yeah, get back to it. All right.
Tune in on Tuesdays for Hunter.
Yep.
He's now found his keys. He'll be having a great afternoon now. He's found his keys. What else can we say about this Moog?
What else can we say?
What are the options on the back?
Actually, this one's a fun one because it's actually got MIDI. Someone modified it at some point. So you can plug a sequencer, you can plug any like modern MIDI keyboard into this and do things that were never intended to be done with it before.
Wow.
And it has this cool, I'll see if I can get it going, an external input, which basically, if we do that and then we turn the external input on, kind of just drives it into an overdrive.
Are you going to do it?
I don't want to do it. Oh, maybe because it's not loud enough.
Fuck! Conjure the beast.
Yeah, so I guess it's almost like a primitive kind of distortion kind of vibe there.
Who's used this recently at Roundhead?
Me.
on every record?
Yeah,
that bass isn't quite doing it.
Oh, and it's one of those ones where... yeah, we're doing stuff with Flamingo Pier, and you know they had like one of the digital kind of ones in the computer in the box kind of Moogs, and it was like, yo, we'll just feed some MIDI out to this, the exact same thing that they've played, and then just get the real vibe from it. And we did some Moog soloing and things. But yeah, it's like one of those synths that does it. You don't have to do anything to it. It just sounds good in a song, so you kind of just... It's like in the palette. sound like the top three.
I've heard they can be hard to mix because they're so chubby and massive.
Yeah, yeah, that's totally. You don't want to be doing like bass guitar and this thing and you know this as a solo and this doing your lead melody and just eating your mix. But it's hard not to as well.
Analog synthesizers.
Yeah, yeah. Beautiful old beast. And I mean the Behringer ones are pretty great. I've had a toy around on them and you can get them for a couple hundred bucks from the rock shop. They don't have the wood panels and the big fat knobs, but they're pretty amazing.
They don't quite have the presence.
Nah. I don't know if they have the big overload function either. It's a sweet old machine and
it's got a nice buzz to it as well, eh?
Yeah.
Shit, yeah.
Is that its buzz? I think that's your amp.
Fuck you, bro.
Yeah.
Actually, it's this room. Yeah, let's brain the room.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's leave it there in the room, I think.
Grounded. What else did I put up on
We've got Roy Ayres.
Roy Ayres. Yeah, that's classic. That little melody synth that comes in right away.
Hey!
Yeah. Couldn't make that sound if I tried, eh?
You're gonna, though, eh? Crisp. Oh! Every single dog in the neighborhood. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, it's pretty much there. Come find me, Roy.
I'm gonna hit a hip hop track after this.
My life in the sunshine. Everybody loves the sunshine. Sunshine. Everybody loves the sunshine. Sunshine. Folks get down in the sunshine. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Sunshine. Folks get brown in the sunshine. Just bees and things and flowers. 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 My life in the sunshine. Everybody loves the sunshine. Sunshine. Everybody loves the sunshine. Sunshine. Folks get down in the sunshine. Sunshine. Folks get brown in the sunshine.
Perfect.
You can find information on our website, on our Facebook page, on our Instagram. Roundhead Studios at Roundhead Studios, www.roundheadstudios.com. And just get in touch with me or you guys up at BFM. if you're confused, hit these guys up.
That seems fair.
Yeah.
We'll see you on a Tuesday, bro.
I can't wait. I'm going to be here next week. Okay. I'm going to be excited for it. Sick of these big old sessions.
Thanks for bringing the Mogan, man.
Yeah, it's my pleasure.
It's great.
All right.
Tools of the Trade. Tools of the Trade on 95 BFM. Thanks to Roundhead Studios.